Again, it's a pleasure to be here. I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Max Dapa, and I just recently moved here to Nishida, but this is my second month of being in Nishida, and we are so excited to be here. I'm here with my family, Dorothy, and three of my kids, Maxwell Jr., Michelle, and Kendra, who is downstairs in the kindergarten class. Now, I am very glad to be given a chance to share the Word of God today. It's a privilege, and I don't take it for granted at all. And I hope that God is going to speak to all of us today through me. Amen? Shall we bow our heads down in prayer? Father, we thank you for this morning. We give you praise. We thank you for the opportunity to gather again and to hear of you. I pray that you will speak to us today. I ask that you will grant me utterance, that your word will come out with boldness and clarity of purpose, that all your children that are gathered in here shall be blessed. I pray, committing each and every one that shall listen to my voice today, that Holy Spirit, you speak to him or her individually, and let your word be clear to them as vividly as possible. We thank you and we honor you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, as you know, our key verse is Ephesians. We're reading from Ephesians 3:14 all the way to Ephesians 4:16. So it's a large stretch of scripture, and it covers a lot of ground, as you would see if you start studying that scripture. By the time you go through one piece of it, you see there's so much in there you can dwell on. And so I'm not going to attempt to summarize everything. So that will not be the strategy for this morning. We'll leave that for another time. But this morning, I want to dwell on one or two things. And Pastor Gray has covered a lot of ground already. He spoke about the unity in the Spirit, which is very important. And then he talked about growing up, which is absolutely critical as a child of God. And he talked about spiritual gifts. Now, there's a particular dimension of this about growing up that I'd like to dig a bit deeper with you this morning. Amen? And I'd like to read that for a start. If you go with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 16, he talks about the fact that he will grant you, and I'm reading from the King James Version, he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in faith may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which passeth all understanding, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. So the part that I want to dwell on about this scripture is growing up the inner man. Growing up the inner man. Because I know, Pastor Gray talked about growing up, but I want to be very specific in terms of what it is that we need to be focusing on as we think about what we need to grow up. Amen? Because we can grow up in a lot of things, but I think that it is important for us to be specific as ordered by this scripture, as Paul even wishes for us, that God will strengthen us with might by his Spirit in who? In the inner man. In the inner man. That is absolutely critical to understanding the scripture. So what is the inner man? I think that's a question that obviously one would like to ask. So what is he talking about when he meant the inner man? Now, I did a bit of research about this, and much of the conclusion I get is that the inner man is your soul. Amen? The inner man is your soul. Now, we all know that the real us is not the person that people see. So the real you is not the physical being that people see. The real you is your soul. Amen? The real you is your soul. And it's absolutely critical because as the Bible declares in Genesis 2, verses 7, he says that, and God created man out of the dust of the ground
And the Bible said that he breathed into his nostrils and man became a living soul. So the breath of man is derived from the breath of God, which gives us the life that we have, which is manifested in our soul. Amen? So your body, which is a physical substance that people see, lives by the life that is in the soul that you have. You see? So your soul is the real you. Your soul is the person that is the real you. So it's absolutely critical. Now, if you read Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5, David said this popular scripture, as we all know. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." And then he goes about and talks about, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives your iniquities, who heals your diseases." And then he talks about, "Who covers you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who fills your mouth daily with good things, so that your strength is renewed like that of the eagle." So David was speaking to his real person, and that was the soul. So if you take Genesis chapter 2, and then you take Psalm 103 verses 1 to 5 that we just read, there are a couple of things that you can derive about the soul, which I think are very important. Number one, that the soul has life. It is capable of living. Okay, so God breathed into man and he became a living soul. So look, the soul has life. That's number one. Number two, the soul has the capacity to feed. Okay? You can actually feed your soul. He said, "The Lord feedeth your mouth daily with good things, so that your strength is renewed like that of the eagle." So your soul is capable of being fed. Amen? And then the soul has the ability to hear. You can speak to your soul. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." You activate a spiritual, you issue a spiritual command, and your soul has to respond. So your soul can actually hear. So if our soul has the ability to live, our soul has ears that it can hear, and our soul has the ability to eat, then by extension, our soul has the capacity to be strengthened. I'm sure you agree with me that your soul has the capacity to be strengthened. Now, Paul talks specifically about this because in our Christian endeavor, one of the things that we need to really pay attention to is making sure that we are feeding our soul. We are feeding our soul. And that is why he says that, "I bow down on my knees every day so that God will grant you according to the riches of his glory in his mercy, that he might be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man." Okay, so it is important we understand our soul has the ability to live and to hear and to eat, and by extension, it has the ability to be strengthened. Amen. Now, one of the things that makes this scripture also unique is that Paul is trying to make the connection between us and God by using the inner man. He said, "I pray that God will strengthen you by his spirit in the inner man." So there is a connection between God and us through the soul, which is the inner man. And why is it that God has chosen to strengthen us through the soul? Why is it that God is not strengthening our flesh and all of that? The reason is that God is a spirit, and God communicates to us principally through his spirit, which is in us. Amen? So God is a spirit, and God communicates to us principally through his spirit, which is in us. Now, God's purposes and will in our lives are revealed through the spirit of God into our soul. And so when Paul talks about be strengthened with inner might, which is your soul, or which is the man, which is the real you, he's talking about activating the real you so that God can be connected with you in a much stronger way than you would if you are not strengthened in that particular way. Amen? So there is a connection between us and God through the inner man, which is the soul which God breathed into us. And so it is important that God speak to us and reveal his purposes to us through the soul. So that is one of the reasons why it is important that our soul needs to be strengthened. Amen. Now, It is also important for us to understand that because God connects to us, principally through his soul, the soul of man has become one of the greatest battlegrounds to spiritual warfare. You know, your soul is the greatest battleground to spiritual warfare. And the reason is that the enemy knows that God connects to you through your soul. And so if he can capture your soul or hold your soul in bondage, then your flesh will follow. Okay? So the reason is that the enemy knows that, look, God connects to this person through the soul. So if I can capture the soul, or if I can manipulate the soul of this person, then of course I can deprive him of the communication he or she has with God. And by extension, I can deprive him of his or her blessings. So the soul has become an important battleground in spiritual warfare. And it is important that we understand this. In Romans chapter 8, verses 6 to 9, he says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. And then he goes on to say that the carnal mind is enmity with God. So we are all sitting here and we know that the enemy, which is Satan, is the enemy of God. But you have to understand that the soul that is within you, which the mind which you have is a part of that soul, he says that if that soul is unregenerate, if that mind is unregenerate, it means that that mind is enmity with God. It means that it is an enemy of God. So it is a battleground for us to understand. And then he says that that carnal mind does not have the ability to understand the law of God. And they that walk in the flesh cannot please God. Amen? So we understand that our mind, which is part of our soul realm, has become a battleground in this particular warfare. And then as we all know, in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 6, he says, for we walk after the flesh, although we walk after the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the battles of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations that exalt themselves against the authority of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So that when our obedience is fully fulfilled, the obedience of God shall also be fulfilled in our lives. So you see that this battle that goes on in our mind and in our soul realm has become very pivotal to our positioning to receiving our blessings from God. So the enemy continues to hit that place. And so all of this goes to make to prove the point that it is important that our soul is strengthened, because the enemy will be coming at our soul and will be coming at our mind at any point in time to help us or to deprive us of the blessings in our relationship with Christ. Now the third thing about having the soul strengthened is that we prevail in adversity by the strength that God gives to the soul. You know, we prevail in adversity that the strength through the strength that God gives to the soul. You know, the Bible makes it clear that each and every believer will go through adversity. In John chapter 16, verse 33, he talks about, I tell you these things so that you will have peace in this world, you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. So each and every believer will go through adversity. But how do you prevail in adversity? You see? How do you prevail? And that is why Paul is saying that when Christ strengthens your inner man with might, you will be grounded and rooted in Christ. So that in time of adversity, you know to stand. Like we just sang that song. He says, it is well with my soul. Why didn't he say, it is well with my flesh? It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul, because he knows that it is the soul that prevails in time of adversity. And God releases his strength into your soul. So even though people look at you, your body is all weary and tired, your soul is strong. Your soul is strong. Like Job said in the book of Job 19:25, he said that, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he will stand upon the surface of the earth in the latter days. Even though my flesh the worms destroy, but in my flesh I shall see God. So this is a man who has developed a robust inner man and a robust soul that is able to stand in the time of adversity. And so the enemy would like to attack that soul, so that soul is weakened and broken and has not the ability to stand in time of adversity. So we need to pay attention to our soul. And as you would agree with me that in our day and age, a lot of attention is being paid to the flesh. It's all kinds of things about the flesh. on the news, and in all kinds of places. So people are devoting a lot of attention to developing the flesh. So I believe that this particular scripture comes at a time when we all need to be paying attention more to developing the soul than to developing the flesh. I'm not saying that developing the flesh is bad necessarily. We need to take care of ourselves. But in terms of building strength as a child of God, your utmost priority is to feed your soul. Amen? And that is what we are trying to talk about today. So I will talk about, how do you grow up your soul? I'll talk about a few of the things that I picked from Scripture that will help us to be able to grow up our soul. Number one, growing up the soul requires us to study the Word of God. That is the number one avenue by which we strengthen our soul. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, he says that, brethren, he says that as children or as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the world so that you can grow thereby. So the sincere milk of the Word of God is the food to your soul. Amen? The Word of God is the food to your soul. In Jeremiah 15, verse 16, he says, your word have I found, and I did eat it, and it was the rejoicing and the joy of my heart. So you can actually eat the Word of God. Remember, we talked about the fact that your soul can be fed. So you can actually eat the Word of God. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, when the Bible was talking about the revelation of Ezekiel, he says that, and he told him, prophet of God, eat whatever you will find. Or son of God, eat whatever you find. And he said, eat that scroll. And he said, I did take that scroll, and I ate it, and it was in my belly like a honeycomb. And that scroll was in reference to the Word of God. In Psalm 109, verse 9 to 8, he said, how shall a young man keep his way pure? Except he takes heed and he takes heed to the Word of God. And he talks about, in verses 11, he said, your word have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against you. So the Word of God is the primary source of strengthening your soul. It's the primary source of food to strengthen your soul. Absolutely critical for us to know. So what do we do? So if we hear this, what should we do with it? It means that we need to pay attention to hearing the Word of God, and to listening, and to reading, and to meditating upon the Word of God. The second means by which we can strengthen our soul is appropriating the gifts of the Spirit and receiving the gifts of others. Amen? And I'd like to place emphasis on the second part. Appropriating the gifts of the Spirit. Pastor Gere talked about the gifts of the Spirit, which we need to exercise in the ministry. But it is also important that you need to receive the gifts of others. It is very important, because I realize that if you appropriate the gifts that God has given to you and you do not stand in readiness to receive the gifts of others, you will not be able to grow to be a complete person in the realms of the Spirit. So it is important you appropriate the gifts, and it is also important that you receive the gifts of others. There is a popular person, I think it was a philosopher, who says that there is no man whose understanding is not helped by another man. Each and every one of us here, our understanding of a particular thing could be helped by the revelation that somebody else brings. So it is important that we open up ourselves to receive the gifts of others. And if you read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 7, Paul makes clear that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of ministry, but the same Lord. And then diversities of activities, but it is the same God who worketh in all of us. But in verses 7, he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each for the profit of all of us. Amen? The manifestation of the Spirit and the gift is given to each of us for the profit of what? All of us. So it is important that not only should we express our gifts and allow the Spirit of God to use us, we should also stand in readiness to receive the gifts of others. And I think that in the body of Christ, one of the greatest sources of contention is when people reject the gifts of others and only see themselves through their own eyes. And that's where we have all of these things happening, the envy, the jealousy, and the strife and the tension that goes on in the church. Okay, so the Spirit is given, receive it. Receive your own gifts, utilize it, and also allow other people to use their gifts and be at the receiving end. Amen. Now, number three, how do you grow your inner man? You grow your inner man through some of the trials and the temptation that come your way as a child of God. Now, these are not things that you call upon yourself, but these things sometimes press down on you. And if there is one man who has learned to grow his inner man through trials and temptation, then it was Paul. So if Paul is talking about this, we should know that indeed he has been through there. In James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, he said, brethren, count it all joy when you go through diverse trials and temptations. For the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, so that you will be complete in all things, lacking nothing. So you see, the analogy here is that when you are being tempted, your faith is activated and your faith is put to work. Amen? He said the testing of your faith worketh patience, if you use the King James Version. So your faith is otherwise lying dormant most of the time. But when your faith is tested, it is activated and it begins to work. And when your faith begins to work, he says that a product of that work is patience. And we all know, I'll talk in a little bit as I bring my sermon to an end, about how do you know you're growing. Because I'll talk about that just a little bit before we end. So the testing of your faith produces patience. But he said, let patience have its perfect work. So you need to give patience time, you know, and allow it to produce the fruit that is desired of it. And as we know also, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7, Paul talks about, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of power will be of God and not of us. For we are troubled on every side, but we are not in distress. We are perplexed, but not despair. We are cast down, but not destroyed. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. But he says, always bearing in our body, so that the dying of the Lord on the cross shall also be made manifest in our body. So you see, there are all kinds of persecutions that are happening to Paul. But he says that he knows that he has this treasure in him. We have this treasure in earthen vessel. You have this treasure in you, which is your soul, which God breathed into you. And the strength of that soul in time of adversity will allow you to prevail. Hallelujah. So your soul is strengthened in time of adversity. Someone once said that adversity brings elasticity to the soul. If you're a student in economics, you know that elasticity is an interesting concept in economics. So the strength brings elasticity. So your faith is stretched to a limit where if you continue to abide in the word of God, the aftermath of that trial will produce the essence of what we see as some of the fruits of the Spirit. It will produce patience, it will produce temperament, and many other fruits that will ensue out of the temptation. But it is important for us to understand that as we go through these trials and temptations, we need to stay true to our faith. We need to stay to the basis of our faith so that our testimony is not taken away from us. So, I have talked about how we develop our soul. There could be many other things, but I just talked about three things that will help us to be able to understand that our soul is important and that it needs to be developed. And some of the things that helps us to develop that. Now, the question will be, how do you know that you are developing your inner man? Or how do you know that you're growing? So as we study the word of God and as we go through adversity and as we appropriate the gifts of God, how do you measure yourself? How do you assess how well you're doing as a child of God in the realm of developing your inner man? I will just say this in conclusion, that the answer to this, Paul actually gave in the same verse in the book of Ephesians. He talked about some of them. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2, he says that, let me start from verses 1. He says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you will walk worthy of your vocation wherein ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. These are the elements of growth that take place when your inner man is developed. Meekness, long-suffering, love, joy, patience. And if you go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22, it lists all of the spiritual gifts. Because the soul is inherently spiritual, it must produce gifts, or it must produce fruits that are spiritual. It must produce gifts that are naturally spiritual. So if you want to see that your inner man is growing, see the kinds of fruits that are being germinated as a result of the exercise of your faith. And ladies and gentlemen, if we will allow the Spirit of God to strengthen our inner might, I believe that our experience of God will be a whole lot better. If we will desire in our hearts today that we want our inner man to be strengthened this year, I believe that God will take us one step higher in our spiritual walk with Him than we are today. And I believe that some of the testimonies that the men of old gave concerning God, we are capable of giving those testimonies in our time also. We can say with Paul that I am troubled on every side, but I am not distressed. Hallelujah. We can say with Job that even though my soul, even though my body, the flames destroy, the worms destroy, in my flesh I will see God. We can say it with Job. We can say with David that, yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, because thou art with me. And even if you read the earlier part of it, he said, you restore my soul. Hallelujah. He said, you restore my soul. 123 verses 3. You restore my soul. Psalm 23 verses 3. You restore my soul. The soul is restored. And we know that once the soul is restored, it's made vibrant, and God's purposes are fulfilled in our lives. Will you strengthen your inner man today? Or do you desire for your inner man to be strengthened? Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this afternoon again, that you are calling on us to strengthen our inner man, that we'll grow up in you, to be rooted and to be grounded in you. And we know that flesh and blood cannot do it, because the Bible declares that by flesh shall no man prevail. Today we avail our inner man to you, O God, and we pray that you will strengthen us and help us to bear fruit that are worthy of the strength that you have given unto us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.